Hey, thanks so much for listening to this message. My name is Jason, and I'm one of the ministers here at the Madison Church of Christ. It's our hope and prayer that the teaching from God's Word you hear today will bless your life and draw you closer to Him. If you're ever in the Madison, Alabama area, we'd love for you to worship with us on Sundays at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. If you have any other questions about the Bible or want to know more about the Madison Church, find us at madisonchurch.org. Be sure to also check out our Bible study podcast, Madison Church of Christ Bible Studies. Thanks again for stopping by.
When Brandon and I were planning to do this together, one thing that we didn't decide or prepare for ahead of time was who would sit where. And so I asked him what his better side was, and he said either.
I don't have one. No. That's what I said.
So sorry to those of you on my left. We're excited to get to do this today. And before we do get into the message and what we're going to talk about, I did want to do a brief commercial for our next series starting next week. Some of you may be familiar with the book Sticky Faith. It was really popular several years ago. It was written by Dr. Kara Powell. And what she focused on in that book was what we can understand and what we can know on how to help the next emerging generation have a faith that lasts way into adulthood. And so she did this study and was kind of looking at different attributes of things we can keep in mind as parents, grandparents, church members, church
leaders. Why did you say grandparents when you looked at me like that?
Oh, I didn't.
Sorry.
I was looking through you.
Okay. My daughter is somewhere.
Yes. You have something? I'm just kidding. Never mind. All right. So one of the things that she talked about in that book was, you know, how to help the next generation in faith. Well, that book was great. But over the years, the data has changed and changed quickly with the rise of social media, technology. But also, we all understand like the temptations and the challenges that we're facing, but especially the next generation is facing, are changing quick. And so she redid her study and found out that the next generation is actually asking three questions. And those questions are these. Number one, who am I? Which focuses on identity. And we all understand that that's something we're being under attack on, and our next generation is. The next question is, you know, what is my purpose? Where is it that I'm supposed to engage in those kinds of things, which focuses on purpose? And the third one is, who are my people? Which is talking about community. And so we're going to look at those studies, but also look at how the Bible has an answer to all three of those questions. And so we're going to talk about that next week, and really excited to kick that series off. But you might be thinking, well, why are we up here together? And that is a good question, and we want to talk about why. So one of the things you've probably noticed is on Sunday nights in our Connect groups, Wesley Cannerday has been going around from Connect group to Connect group to talk about involvement, but specifically like how to get engaged in the work here at Madison. And over the years, we know there have been a lot of different forms, a lot of different things. And so sometimes, you know, when you, maybe you're a new member at a, you know, 1,400, 1,500 member congregation, you're like, well, am I needed? And where do I even get involved? It can kind of be a lot to kind of figure out what that is. And so Wesley and his team have sought to kind of make this very streamlined, and as he put it, a clean slate. And to make it very easy to be engaged and involved here. And even this afternoon, there's going to be a follow-up email if you are wanting to do that, to get re-engaged and to sign up for things. But we want to make something very clear from the very beginning, is that we talked a lot about this, that we know that if we're in your shoes, because we've been there, that whenever you hear a message on involvement, that sometimes, not for all of us, but for a lot of us, it can actually bring up some negative feelings. And the reason why I say that is that maybe for some of you that you've at times been guilted into serving, or maybe you felt manipulated into serving. We're not doing that today. And in fact, one of the things that I think about in the text that Brandon's going to talk about today, and even in Romans 12, that we have been given gifts by grace. And so if it's grace that we've been given these gifts, it's in grace we get to serve. And so we're not here to manipulate. We're not here to guilt anybody. It's a joy to get to work alongside God and what He's doing. But the other thing, you know, in thinking about the opportunities that are before us. You know, I know maybe for some of you, you're kind of like, well, what is that? You know, what should I do next? Well, we were trying to think about what is the approach. And so the approach we decided to take is I'm going to focus on the why today. And Brandon's going to focus on what's next. And you can see a little bit of the why in the title of today's message. We purposefully did not entitle this, Sign Up. We didn't purposely entitle this, Get Plugged In. Because it's way bigger than a sign-up sheet. It's way bigger than kind of trying to get us to, all right, well, I better do that. It's way more than a checklist. That we have been designed and shaped by God to get to join Him on mission. That's why we've entitled it this. And so as you think about the why, here's where we wanted to start today. I want you to think about for you individually, when you hear the word mission, even like what comes to your mind? I know probably for a lot of us, the picture we have in our mind is, well, a mission trip. That mission is something we go and do. But what we want to talk about today from the very beginning is Scripture actually gives us a whole nother picture. That mission is not what we do, it's what God does and He is on and we get to join Him. And if we frame it from that perspective, it changes everything. And so that's why we wanted to kind of begin with this, that we get to be a part of something way bigger than us, but also includes us. There's a quote that I loved, but I'll tell you, it kind of stopped me in my tracks a little bit because I had to process it a little bit, and it said this, mission is not what we do. God has a mission and God has a church. And the idea was, is that God is right now on a mission and we get to join Him. And we see this all throughout Scripture that God's fingerprints are in everything. God is at work right now in our communities. God is at work in our schools. God is at work in Brazil, and God is at work here in Madison. God is at work everywhere. It's just up to us to join in what He's already doing. And part of the reason why that matters is, do y'all remember when we did the series called Kingdom, looking at the book of Matthew? And over again, Matthew keeps reminding them, hey, God has established His kingdom. Why does that matter to us? Well, right now, if you know that God is seated on His throne and He is reigning and ruling and leading everything, how does that make you feel? I mean, doesn't it make you feel that you can walk into any situation, you can walk into any circumstance, that God has this? And so in the same way God is reigning and ruling right now, it's the same way with mission. Go back to Genesis chapter 3, and you see His fingerprints in that situation. Remember when Adam and Eve had sinned and they hid? What was God's posture? He went after them. The ones that were lost, that were running away. And what I love is that when He found Adam and Eve, right, when they were in their hiding, He didn't say, what's wrong with you? Do you know what He said? Where are you? He still needed them, but He was the one seeking them out. Look in Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel was giving us a picture of God on mission. Look what it says in Ezekiel 34 in verse 11. He says, I am going to be the one searching for the sheep. I will seek them out. And then He goes on to say, I will rescue them. Here's what's interesting, by the way. In the Bible, the word rescue is mentioned 80 times. And 79 of the 80 times, guess who it's talking about? God. So He's doing the rescuing. It says, I will bring them out of the people, towards the people. I will feed them. I myself will be their shepherd. I will make them lie down. I will seek after them when they're lost. I will bring them back when they're strayed. I will bind them up when they're injured. I will strengthen the weak. And I will feed them in justice. Doesn't it make you feel good that whatever we decide to do, it's we're joining what God is already doing? He is seeking out. He is doing the rescuing. In fact, one of the things that we talked about this week is we were reading through something, it made this point that the word mission, when it's thought of in the New Testament, when God is going out and telling us to go, you know what the two words that are used to describe are not words I've used. I usually use the word build or expand. God never uses those words. You know what He uses? Receive and enter. We receive it and we enter it. And so we want to begin there, that God right now, his thumbprints are in everything. I told Brandon we should have probably sung the song, the hippo song, which that would have been kind of interesting to do here. But in that song.
Why did you look at me when you said hippo?
I'm going to turn away. See, originally, you know, this is just going to be 15 minutes. It's going to be 30 and 30. So y'all better buckle up. But no, what's interesting about that is, you know, his fingerprint is all over this community. His fingerprint is all over this world, and it's awesome that we get to join that. So we want to begin there to understand he's the one that's doing the work. Number two, for every single one of us in this room, why we should want to join his mission is because it's personal for all of us. Like if we go back in our family's story, every single one of us can point to a time where we remember that we are where we are because somebody was missional-minded. Somebody was like, you know what? I'm going to go knock on that door because I believe God is going to do something. That's my story. A lot of you know, my mom and dad did not grow up in Christian homes. That much later in their life, they came to know Christ. And what I noticed is there was men and there was women that saw the opportunities that were right in front of them that God was doing and joined them. And I know I'm where I'm at today because of that. What I'm saying is, for every one of us in this room, even if you got to trace it back 30, 40 years, it's something that is personal for all of us. But here's the other thing, and this is a small part, but it matters, is that when we join God's mission, it makes us. You know, you even think about like when you've gone on a mission trip. How do you feel during that time, and how do you feel when you come back? You know, one of the statements that I remember I told my dad one time when we got back from Thailand, I said, man, I wish every day could be a mission trip. And he's like, it is. I was like, oh, you know, got Jesus juked by your own dad. And but in that, he was right that every day is an opportunity to join God in what he's doing. And that feeling that you have, there's a reason you feel that way. There was a study done by American Bible Society with Revive. And here's what they found is that people that were joining God in his mission, number one, they were better actually walked out their calling. Number two, I love this one, that when they joined together with God's people, it actually helped them fight sin. That they felt that they were able to deal with the temptations from Satan better because he's after us, right? But also it allowed them to participate more in burden bearing. I can't tell you how many times when, you know, we've done things together that it ends up creating an opportunity for spiritual conversations, whether that's VBS, Mission Madison, any opportunity like that gets our hearts joined in the same direction. But here's the main thing I want to focus on, is that every single one of us in this room have been shaped by God to serve. How you do that is different than the other person beside you, and for that we praise and thank God. There's this acrostic that an author wrote and put together that I've always loved, and it says this: every person has a shape. And that's not what you might think, but here's what the shape is, that every single person in this room has a spiritual gift, every one of us. Now, the challenge with employing that spiritual gift is this. I think sometimes what Satan uses, he uses gift envy, which is, I wish I had what they had, which is kind of like gift comparison. I think the other thing that he uses, and Brandon's going to get more into this later, is gift protection. And what I mean by that is we've been gifted something, but maybe we've been hurt before when we tried to use it. Or maybe what happened is we used it and we got burnt out or worn out. Or I know for me, it's like, well, if I do this, what could happen? And like, we don't know all the details. So sometimes we protect the gift. The other thing is this, every single one of us in this room have a heart for something. Yeah. And here's why that matters. Do you remember when Nehemiah, the Bible says that he had asked, because he had heard about how the walls of Jerusalem were knocked down, and it said that it broke his heart. And so he went and he actually saw the need for himself, and again it said it broke his heart. The reason why I want to point that out is that his divine burden, what broke his heart, was his ministry. So I want you to think about right now, for each and every one of you, what is it that you have a heart for? Some of you have a heart for, maybe it's young people. Maybe for some of you, you have a heart for widows. Some of you, maybe it is that you have a heart for those that tend to be overlooked. Maybe you have a heart for those that are new Christians. One of the things I hope you notice, we're not saying go and sign up for 85 things. We're actually saying not to do that. To pick like that one or two areas that you have a heart for something and let whatever it is that breaks your heart feed your ministry. But here's the next part, that every single one of you have certain abilities that are so unique to you. But I love these next two because we don't think of these as part of our shape sometimes, but perspective. And here's what's neat is every single person in this room, say we have 1,000 people in this room. One of the greatest gifts is that we have 1,000 different perspectives. And I love that we are gathered under one roof. Other people need your perspective. They need your experience. And here's what's interesting about perspective and experience. Over time, that gift kind of changes. I was thinking about my mom, and she's going to hate this, but she is one of those that she's very involved and had been very involved. But then with my dad's health, as my dad's health began to decline, her role began to change. And so she's still serving, but not serving in the way she has. And that's great. Whatever it is in the way that you can serve now, employ that, use that. Your perspective and your experience is needed. And there's two passages that came to mind with this, and one of those kind of fits with the study we're doing on Sunday nights on the book of Ephesians. And if you notice in the text, Paul is so purposeful in using this word masterpiece, or some of your translations say workmanship. He says, for we are God's workmanship. Now, here's why that word matters. Do you remember in week one of our study on the book of Ephesians that your teacher probably mentioned that one of the challenges in Ephesus was there was a temple to Artemis? Do y'all remember that? And what happened there, Artemis was a pagan god. But what happened is outside the temple of Artemis, people were buying and selling paintings and sculptures. And so that was something they walked by, they were very familiar with. And here's what's interesting. The word masterpiece is the word poema in the Greek, which is the same word used to describe those paintings, to describe those sculptures. So what he's basically saying is, hey, you know those paintings, those sculptures that you see? Like you have, that's you. You have been painted, hand-painted by God. You have been sculpted by God. And notice what it says, that he did all of that creating in Christ Jesus. You might have walked in this room not thinking you're very creative or don't have much to offer. This text says otherwise. This says that you reflect enormous creativity. But then notice what he says, that you were given that masterpiece, that painting, to do good works. And he said that he prepared this a long time ago. That shows us that we serve not just in light of today in 2026. We serve in light of eternity, which is incredible. But here's the other passage that I love that's a challenge to me, and that's Galatians 5. The church in Galatia dealt with a struggle I think we all deal with, and it's this. Well, I'm free to do whatever I want. Well, that's true, but we don't leverage our freedom to do what we want. As God's people, we're to leverage our freedom to do what we ought. And so notice what he says here. Yeah, you're called to freedom, brothers, but do not use or leverage your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. But you actually do this through love. You serve one another. I think back to when I got my license and I was like, oh, I'm free. I mean, who knew a 01 Corolla could go so fast? I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, kids. But, you know, he's like, all right, yes, you got that freedom, but you don't use that freedom to make a poor choice. You use that freedom to actually think of other people, not you. And then notice what he says. You do it in a spirit of love. Now, this was a toe stepper for me because I was thinking about this morning how, you know, if I'm trying to, you know, show Lorianne that I care, I'll sometimes, like when I load the dishwasher, do it really loudly so she hears that I'm loading the dishes. He's like, that's not the spirit in which I'm talking about. He said, I want you to do it like you love one another. And I'm sure Brandon's never.
I never do that.
I bet you haven't. Yep. I bet you haven't. So anyway, as we think about the why, the main why, think about this for just a second. Number one, right now, God is on a mission. He's seeking out. He's rescuing. He's binding hearts. He's helping. He's doing the work that, but we join him. He doesn't have to have us, but he wants us. And isn't that awesome to step into whatever we choose to do with confidence, knowing God's doing something? But number two, every single one of us are different, and that's good. We've been shaped by God to serve, right?
And so, you know, thinking about this, the idea of a thumbprint, each one of us has that individualized thumbprint that yours is not like anyone else's in the world. You're completely unique. And I love the part of this message that reminds us that God has created us for these purposes. That, you know, when I listen to Ephesians chapter 2, one of the things that it says is that he's putting things out there in front of us all the time. And those things are for us to take part in, to jump in and to be a part of those things. And I like in Galatians 5, where it reminds us that, yes, we have these gifts and these abilities, and we can use them in a lot of different ways. And there are a lot of people out in the world that can do things that are great. But he's saying from a spiritual perspective, recognize the power that you have within you that leads us into serving other people in a way that really does move the kingdom forward. And I really like what Andrew said about the idea of us receiving the kingdom and then entering into the kingdom. And that's the idea of us being more involved and being active in the things that we're doing. So I want to share with you some scriptures that I hope will reinforce what Andrew has already kind of laid the groundwork for. And the first one is here in 1 Peter chapter 4. And just to give you a little bit of an idea of who Peter is talking to here, he's talking to people who are struggling, suffering, they're going through persecutions, and he's trying to remind them that even though you're going through these things, it's important that you stand out, that you separate yourself, that you're sanctified in some way, that what you're doing has a direct impact and connection to Jesus Christ. And so he's saying you're going to have to abandon some of the things that you're seeing all around you and be the people that God has called you to be. And so it's in that context that he says, you know, each one of you is given a gift, a variety of spiritual gifts. And whether it's preaching or whether it's serving others, as the Bible says here, the thing that jumps out to me is this last part of the passage where it says, do with all the strength and the energy that God supplies. And I love that because it reminds me that God is at work within me. In fact, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says it. It says, you know, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Now think about for that just for a moment, like what that means to each of us is that God is working in us. That's a powerful thing. And so, you know, I think about some of the people that we've bumped into in this life, and you think, you may say, they may say, I don't have talents, I don't have abilities, but God is still working powerfully through them. There's several examples. I won't get into those, but just understand how powerful God can work through you. And so there should be excitement on our part to welcome him into that enterprise for us doing this together. So what's interesting to me is as I look at this passage, it reminds me that my imprint, okay, in ministry reveals that God is already at work within me. And so sometimes we'll say things like my ministry. But I think maybe it's better if we think of it in terms of God's ministry and my part that I'm playing in that ministry and recognizing where that glory and that honor goes to, because the next part of that passage says this, that in everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. And that's one of those things where that's what we want, right? We don't do these things for our own credit. We don't get involved to see how many check marks we have and how many ministries we're involved in. We're not running charts to see who's doing everything. It's the idea that we recognize God has a place in my heart. He's working not just through me, but he's also working in me. He's working on me in the process. So you see passages like Ephesians chapter 4 where it lists a lot of these different gifts and abilities that we have, and it could be pastors and prophets and teachers and all these kinds of things. But notice what it says about why all those people have those different jobs. It says to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. And that word for building up is the idea of support and structure and strengthening. It's almost the idea of when all of us work together, what happens is the church and its efforts are being fortified and strengthened. And so there's something that's amazing that happens in that. One, we work together, we're drawn together, and we experience this great unity. So just looking at this, as I think about this passage and how we can kind of gel this down to each one of us is, first of all, each mentor equips another. Now, we've done that at Madison in a lot of different ways. We try to get people to train their replacement, so to speak, and to move in and out of these ministries so people don't get, you know, burnt out and overworked and all these kinds of things. I remember the time when I was transitioning from youth ministry to family ministry. We brought in Jason Helton, and we worked alongside one another, and I got an opportunity to mentor him. So don't blame me for everything that he did, but you can see that maybe some of that was my fault. Anyway. But now Andrew is mentoring me, so it's all working out really, really well.
That would be bad.
Anyway, in this process, what you see is there's a perpetuation of the ministry that takes place. And that's exciting for us to realize that ministry continues to grow. And in the middle of all that, there's a maturity that takes place within each of us. And all I can think about is Vacation Bible School. You know, here at Madison, it's been such a blessing to be a part of VBS. Whenever you can look around and you know, Jordan Abrams does such a beautiful job in leading us and directing us, but when you think it's 450 people strong that are working together, our efforts all pooled together, and those resources coming together and everyone playing their specific part, it's like a beautiful image of this text. And in the process, what happens is we grow, we get excited about being a part of something that's amazing. And we all shared a little part of that. You know what I got to do? I got to paint a Monopoly box this year. That was amazing. That was my contribution and going around telling people I love you, that kind of thing. You know, we all have our role, but that was such a blessing to be that part of it, but know that other people have so many things taken care of. And so it draws us together in unity. So think about this. Our congregational maturity depends on your imprint and mine. That's something for us to be reminded of. Like all of us working together, how much stronger and how much more powerful an influence this church can be in this world because of all of us working together and growing in that unity. Then I think about Romans chapter 12. We read it this morning, but God has given different gifts for doing certain things well. And man, we thank God that all of us can work with whatever gifts and talents that we have. That it's a great thing that we can all do different things. And I think about that. The number of roles that are listed. I think as we were talking about Wesley and what he's doing and sending out another email this afternoon to remind us ways that we can be involved, I think I heard him say in a meeting, 179 ministry opportunities that we've identified here at Madison. Well, that's amazing, right? So there's lots of places and lots of ways for all of us to roll up our sleeves and do different things. Notice it says here, if your gift is serving, then serve. And if your gift is teaching, teach. And if it's encouraging, encourage others. If it's giving generously, if it's one of those things where you've got resources and you can help contribute to the work and ministry here. But we don't say enough about that. Definitely, you know, give your efforts in that way if that's something that you can do. But if you have been given leadership, then take it all responsibly. And ultimately, what are we trying to do? Show kindness to each other. Why? For the glory of God. And so imagine all of those things that we're talking about. And then let's talk a little bit about some of the things that maybe we see and experience from time to time. Andrew mentioned that, you know, we're not trying to overburden people. We don't want to wear them out. We don't want to, you know, have, you know, as they say, 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. We really don't want that here. We really would love to see everybody rolling up their sleeves in some way or another. But sometimes somebody will say to me, well, no one asked me to do anything. I want to read just three or four passages real quickly that I think help remind us that, you know, we all have eyes, we all have the ability to jump in and to help out. And listen to what Proverbs 3 says, verse 27 and 28. Do not withhold good from those who need it when you can help. And do not tell a neighbor to come back tomorrow if you can help them today. That's the idea of here on the spot, help someone out. James 2, 15 and 16. If a person lacks clothes or food, telling them to stay warm and eat well without actually giving them what they need is kind of useless. You know, again, not my words, these are the words of Scripture. 1 John 3:17 says, if a person has enough money and sees a brother or sister in need but closes their heart, God's love cannot live in that person. That's pretty harsh for us to be reminded of that. And then Galatians 6:10 says, whenever we have the chance, and that gives the impression like in the moment, whenever something happens, that we have an opportunity to do good to everyone, but especially those who are the family of faith. I guess the point I'm trying to say is we can say, well, nobody's asked me to do anything, but I think our shepherds would be quick to say, if you see a need, Fill it. Don't wait for the church to organize a program or a ministry for you to jump in and be a part of. If you see a need as a Christian, image bearer of Jesus Christ, be a person who is assertive in that effort, and let's be active in ministry. But then also some people say, well, I'm not sure exactly where I fit. And part of that may be an assumption that we have all the bases covered here. But, you know, as I look around Madison, we do a lot of things, and 179 opportunities is a bunch. But there's still things out there that we maybe have not yet imagined, things that God can do that we have not really, you know, tapped into just yet. Our new facility is going to provide new opportunities. But certainly there are things that are out there that we could do that are not already being done. But then again, I would just ask, what is your passion, as Andrew asked? You know, what is it that you think about that you're moved by? And then find a way to come in and be a part in some way. I think about Peter O'Donnell. I don't know if Peter is usually here in this service, but Peter O'Donnell came to us in Vacation Bible School years ago when I was leading that, and he wanted a place to work, and we put him in the Echo Room to build and construct things. And I quickly found out that that's not, I mean, he could do that. He was doing great with it. But that was not his passion. In fact, what he said was, hey, I'll be glad to do this, but I really want to mess with kids. And I was like, okay. But if you ever saw Peter in that role, he's straight-faced. Like, he does, he's so dry in his humor that I was having a hard time seeing that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was looking at him going, he's very serious. But he sends these one-liners, and you're like, oh, that's hilarious. But he said it with no expression. How do you do that, you know? And then 1 year came up where we needed someone to mess with kids, and we had a tall man for our circus-themed VBS, and he volunteered to be that on stilts. So Peter's already like 6'5 or something like that, and he's on stilts, and he's walking around. That guy was hiding behind doors, and he was jumping out and scaring people and having the kids all look for the tall man everywhere in the building. It was amazing, and we found that passion that Peter had. You know, you look further down the road, that passion led to Peter wanting to have more input in scripts. And now he and Alyssa are working together, writing those scripts and just doing an unbelievable job with Vacation Bible School. And it started out with a nail and a hammer. And I'm just saying that to all of us. You may not be in exactly what you want to be right now, but serve. Pay attention. If something jumps up that you say, hey, I'd love to be a part of that, then definitely do that. Third thing is, I've been hurt in leading before. I know this happens from time to time, and sometimes we get into ministry and it feels like other people go, okay, you got it, woo, and they throw their hands back, and it's really easy for you to get overwhelmed or burnt out in the middle of all that, or feel like you've been abandoned in some way. And it may be that you get into something and you go, oh man, I feel like I have a life sentence, like this is something I got to do for the rest of my life. And we don't want you to feel that way at all. But I want you to think about some things with regard to that. If this has been your experience and you've served and you've been burnt in some way or another, I want to say, first of all, forgive past abuses. It's hard for me to imagine that the people that I know and love here would have intentionally meant to hurt somebody's feelings. I know things can be said. I know sharp words can be uttered. And sometimes I think maybe it's because that person just wasn't at their best on that day. And I think it's a good thing for us to be reminded of, not just for this particular conversation, but in always, to extend a little grace and mercy to people, to be forgiving, to not hold ourselves captive by holding on to bitterness and, you know, grudges or frustrations in that way, to move forward, because God still has shaped you for this cause and for this purpose. And it's really good for us to kind of keep moving forward. So I would say, first of all, forgive people. God has all asked us to do that. But then re-enlist yourself, recommit, dedicate yourself again to some work. But maybe because you've been burnt before, you set some good boundaries. Maybe you say, hey, I want to be a part of this, but maybe I can only be a part of this aspect of it for this period of time, and this is what I'm willing to do. Recognizing that that could still leave a few gaps in something. But that's okay. Look at the number of people in this room and the number of people who could roll up their sleeves and help out. Let's uncover those gaps, find other people, and enlist them into that work as well. And then we can do things great together and cover all of our bases. But the last thing is this, and this one comes straight from the mouth of Mike Winkler. And I miss him so much. I think about him all the time. But Mike used to say, when he would see me kind of worn out, worn down, frustrated, he would say, come on in my office. And I'd come in there and I would sit there like this. And he would talk to me and kind of build me up and strengthen me. And and pray with me. Just a great, great guy. And he would say to me, remember who you serve. Just remember who it is you serve. And he was not talking about you people. He was talking about the Lord. Remember that this is for God. It's not for anybody else. It's really just for God and to be used in a powerful way in his kingdom. And he's calling us to do these things. And then the last one is, maybe you say, I don't feel qualified. Maybe you're struggling. You're a sinner. I would say, take a number, brethren and sistern. Okay? I would say, take a number. None of us, I don't feel qualified to be up here doing what I'm doing. I'm just so thankful and blessed to be able to get up and share God's word from week to week, but I don't feel qualified for it. And when I think about it, that's really kind of the words of Paul. Do you remember when he said in 1 Timothy chapter 1, he was talking about like how he feels. Now, we may have think of him as a rock star, think of him as, you know, a go-getter and just someone that we could look at and go, man, he was just amazing. But Paul said these words, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the worst of them. And you may think to yourself, no, that's me, right? But that's exactly how Paul felt looking back at his past and the way he had treated people of the way, the Christians who were growing in their faith and the way he persecuted them and all of these things. He thought in all of his heart he was doing the right thing. But looking back, he's like, oh, man, how can I ever forgive myself for this? Remember, he also talked about like a thorn in the flesh, like there was something that kept him. And God would say to him, you know, my grace is sufficient for you. I guess the point I'm making is, notice the rest of this. He says, God had mercy on me so that Christ Jesus could use me as a prime example of his great patience with even the worst sinner. I'm so thankful for that. That God can use all of us in some powerful way. And so when I think about how he felt about himself, and I think about maybe how there are some of us who feel that way at times, this is not me saying that we need to forget that we have sinned, that we need to be okay with our sinfulness or be okay with what we think disqualifies us. I'm saying, hey, repent, turn to God, allow him to forgive you, allow him to work on you inside, and get back after it. And I'll say this too. Sometimes there could be a thought that, well, I'm a little bit older now, and it's time for these younger folks to jump in and get involved. May I say to you, if you're my age or older, hey, we're not done with you, and the Lord is not done with you. We need your help. We need your assistance. We need your wisdom and your discernment and your experience. And we need you to re-enlist as well. This is kind of a whole effort, right? To be reminded of this one thing that I think sums up all of this message today, and it's Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, where Paul says this, now to him who is, I just lost my text.
Able to do.
Now to him.
Who is able to do.
Who is able to do excessively, abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power of God that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Wow. To imagine God working in me and through me and on me. And that's what we're calling everybody to do today, is re-enlist. Just get back involved. If you haven't, if you haven't before, it's time. If you have already, then survey your situation, come to a good balanced approach for you and your family, and keep serving. And if it's brand new to you, man, just know that we're going to be here to support you along the way. So I think about this as we're wrapping up. And again, I don't want to give the impression that you know, we think we're all qualified for everything. We can all serve in different capacities. And it may be today that you've just thought to yourself, you know, it's right. It's time for me to get back involved. It's time for me to re-enlist. I hope that your heart has been turned in that direction, that you'll sign up for ways to be a part of the ministry here. But it may be that there are some who are ready to just give their life to Christ, period. And it may be that today you've been thinking about this like, I've been waiting for the right time to do this. And there's no better time. In fact, we're not promised another moment for us to get right with God. And so, you know, we talk about responding to be baptized into Christ, and we want to say that that is the response to what he's already done for us, which Jesus came to this earth to live a perfect life, to die for our sins, to pay the price for our sin, so that you and I, upon our surrender to him in baptism and dying to ourselves and being buried and being raised up, we get this new, refreshed life that we can live with God working through us. And if that is a need this morning, either way, we hope you'll come while together we stand and sing.